All right, the dulcet tones of crisscross applesauce. It's 9:40 on a Tuesday. That's when we check in with our friends at salesportstalk.com. And joining me to co-host this segment is our friend, Patty Mangan. Patty, how you doing?
I know we haven't talked in a while, but I'm listening every week.
Awesome. All right. Well, we also are bringing back one of our friends. It is Tad Sheldon, and Tad Sheldon is here to talk about the Great Loop. Tad, welcome to the show. I had to look this up, and basically, Great Lakes down the Mississippi to New Orleans, around Florida, up the East Coast, like St. Lawrence Seaway, Erie Canal. You did all that?
Well, hey, nice to hear from you, Dominic. Not exactly. The Great Loop can go that route, but that's the more difficult route. So essentially everybody starts in Florida for the most part that does the loop, because that's where all the boats are that you can buy, that people just trade them down there. And then you go up the eastern seaboard to New York to the Hudson River, to the Erie Canal, and into the Great Lakes that way. And then you have a choice of going around the Great Lakes, or you can actually go through Ontario a little bit from Lake Ontario up to the north part of Lake Huron, which is what we did. And then down around to Chicago. You go to Chicago River, Illinois River, the Mississippi River. You go up the Ohio River, actually, upstream to the Tennessee River. And then you go to the Tennessee River to the Tom Bigby, and you come out at Mobile, Alabama. And then you take the Gulf around back to Florida.
So, Tad, I know that coming across your own wake and finishing the trip after 3 years was quite an accomplishment, both physically, mentally, emotionally, you know. And I've been reading your blog and keeping track. And for our listeners, I know Tad, we're both members at South Beach Yacht Club. And I wanted to ask you about the different yacht clubs that you pulled in at. Were some of them both berths and like cottages on the East Coast?
They were, I mean, that's an interesting question, Patty. We found there was more yacht clubs to visit basically as we got around to the East Coast. There was some in the Great Lakes, but where we were going, it was more more remote. So they didn't. But when we got to the yacht clubs, it was in Florida along the eastern seaboard, and they are of all walks of life. There were some that could be like the Baby Boating Club. There were some that could be almost like the St. Francis. We almost got it. We had to change our plans. Otherwise, we were going to spend a week in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Yacht Club, which would have been fabulous. But most of them are just your typical, you know, people who love to boat and people who love to sail. And the one we wound up with at the Solomon's Island Yacht Club in Solomon's, Maryland, was very much like South Beach, you know, a volunteer club and little paid staff and very active membership and a lot of fun.
This is going to be a naive question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I always wondered when it came to, because I've been to Niagara Falls and you got the American Falls and the Horseshoe Falls, that obviously can't be navigated unless you're going over in a barrel. So what is the alternate route? How do you get around all that, getting to Lake Erie?
So essentially it's called the Welland Ship Canal. The Welland Ship Canal goes, it crosses actually the province of Ontario in Canada from basically west of where the Niagara Falls are, and crosses to Lake Erie that way. It's actually a north to south route, even though the lakes run east to west there. A lot of people don't take the Welland Canal because it is a ship route, it's difficult for private boats to go through there. And when you do that, you have to hire a crew and a captain to take your boat through. They don't trust people who don't know how to, who are not professionals, should I say. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that is a relief for you as well, because I know that some of your some of the different locks that you had to go through were kind of harrowing.
Yeah, they were mostly on the river system. Some of these rocks, you could play probably 4 or 5 football games inside of them. They're just huge, and they, you know, rise and lower 90 feet. But they're well set up, and the river system in the United States is much more amenable to private boaters because there's a lot of traffic, particularly in the spring and the fall when people hire a delivery captain to take boats from the Gulf up to the Great Lakes and vice versa. But the Erie Canal and the Trent Severn Canal that we did in Canada were just marvelous experiences, just small towns, old ways. The Erie Canal was the first way you could ship stuff other than horse and buggy in the United States from the New York area to the Great Lakes. And that was eventually taken over by the railroads, and then the highway system took over. But being on these canals and experiencing a history of those was just fascinating.
I remember watching a documentary where a guy in England was in a kayak, and he did the canals. And at one point, he was going through some little town, and teenagers threw rocks at him and laughed, and he got it on video. Did you ever have a perilous situation, or was there anybody ever screwing with you?
No. If you read the chatter on the what we call the Looper Forum, where everybody talks about their experiences and asks questions and gives answers, the place they talk about the most is Joliet, Illinois. And there's a wall that's in Joliet where people tie up to, but we had no issues there. In fact, it was one of the more pleasant experiences we had. There's some guys fishing for catfish, and they had their stove going, and they were just cooking their catfish as they caught them, about 100 feet from our boat. And, I think for the most part, we felt very safe. It was more weather concerns that we had than anything else in terms of doing the loop.
So, for everyone that might be not familiar with the Great Loop, it's a typical that it's done in about a year, and there are people traversing it the entire time except for maybe during bad weather moments and windows. And so I'm trying to picture how many people you're all going the same way. And I remember when I was hitchhiking in New Zealand years and years ago, I kept running into the same people because there's really kind of one way to get around, right? And you're on a one-way path.
Yeah, that's correct. And so we do run into people. And actually, there's a application, a social media app that we use on our phones called Nebo, N-E-B-O. And it's an app where everybody who does the loop kind of registers, and you can actually graphically see where everybody is. So if you pull into a marina, you can see there's 3 or 4 other loopers there, and you can actually
track
them on this app. And so we wind up getting together. I mean, there's, I think, typically 300 boats that are traveling in a specific area doing the loop every year. So you're going to run into somebody. And we all fly our looper burgees, so we can all identify ourselves visually as well. So it's really a huge perpetual motion yacht club. It just keeps moving around the U.S. based on where everybody is.
I see. I was looking at some of the routes, and there's one where it looks like you can cut across through the swamplands of Okeechobee or Okefenokee. There's one where you're going up the Chesapeake and coming back down. Are those guys cheating, or is it just they're bored and they want to try a new way?
I think it depends. It's more not necessarily cheating. It's time. Some of these people, particularly the people who try and do the loop in a year, like to take it the shortest routes as possible. I think when you do the loop in a year, you go past so many things that are so fun and so cool that you can't stop at. Because you got to keep moving. And, the fact that we did it over 3 years allowed us to double back and explore some areas that we had passed by and saw that. I think The route across Lake Okeechobee is frequently traveled, but it's also very shallow, and there's a lock that you have to go through, and apparently the lock master there at that lock is famous for being very grumpy, and so people would rather go through the Florida Keys, which is much more pleasant than mm-hmm. the middle of a swamp, and that's what we did. We went all the way to Key West and then back up.
Patty, we got time for one more question.
Well, I'm just thinking about how it's almost like, if you can imagine kind of like a chemical test where you get a drop of something, you're just literally dropping into the lives of people all along the way in these different, very different cultures, really, you know, just from state to state.
Yep.
Most memorable?
I'm sorry?
What was most memorable?
Oh, most memorable. You know, honestly, I think the places we enjoyed the most were Georgian Bay up in the North Shore of Lake Huron and then down in the Keys. But the place that surprised us the most was the Lowcountry along the Intercoastal Waterway in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. The people there were just amazing. The seafood was amazing. The scenery, even though you visualize swampland and estuaries and everything else like that, is very beautiful, and a lot of wildlife, a lot of different varieties of fish and everything. I think I have to say Lowcountry was the biggest surprise for us, and therefore probably the most memorable.
There is Tad Sheldon doing the loop. Tad, thanks for your time and thanks for your stories.
No problem, Dominic. Patty, good to talk to you again.
Yeah. I'm actually...
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Rick, Dominic, we're all here. Patty, Patty, great to talk to you. And, of course, everyone should go to salesporttalk.com, right?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. I'm Rick Tittle and Dominic. Come on back.